Second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. I don't know what else. I mean, do we need to say anything more? These people are unfit for office. They should be recalled immediately. I don't understand why people in America need to. We need to dispense with the hand wringing and the laboring. And if this really is a government of, by, and for the people, and we've been asleep at the wheel, we have not maintained eternal vigilance, period. Plain and simple, we've been kept busy. You know, you see what's happening in Seattle. You see what's happening in California, places like that. No wonder there's been a mass exodus. People talk about how folks are fleeing the state. Maybe we should just get a backbone where we are and take these communities back in a peaceful and law-abiding sort of fashion. I think that God is, you know, this is kind of a test to say, is this what you really want? We've allowed things to... You know, essentially, we've allowed America to become corrupt in innumerable ways over the last several decades, the last few generations in particular. And it, to me, it feels like this is a kind of a litmus test. Is this what you really want? Because as I've said, from the outset of these riots, you know, the protests that are really little more than human shields for the rioting and the Antifa sort of efforts, you know, the Marxist terrorist color revolutionary efforts, it seems like the best argument for the militia people, you know, we're talking about, should federal troops be brought in? Should they not be brought in? Absolutely not. The militia, someone asked, well, what is the militia? How, you know, the founders said it was every able-bodied male, every able-bodied man, because, you know, a male is not just a man. A male is a dog or an elephant or whatever, but every able-bodied man, every able-bodied American man age 18 to 50. That was the militia. That was the concept. So the Second Amendment reads, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. People are talking about security. Jenny Durkin is talking about reimagining things. Andrew Cuomo is talking about reimagining things. Who are these people? They do not represent their constituency, let alone the entirety of their, you know, the populace they presumably govern. but they're going to reimagine things. Based on what? You know, and people will have democratic voice, of course, but we know the reimagining has already been done. It's going to be in accordance with Agenda 21, and it's going to be, it will be in communitarian speak, so to speak. It'll be in communitarian language. It'll be vague and ambiguous, reflexive policy. Oh, we have a situation. Oh, well. You know, every opportunity presents its own crisis, or every crisis presents its own opportunity. So let's reimagine. How about we not? How about we move away from trying to engage in long-term planning when our house is on fire? That's, you know, historically, that's not the best, the most prudent course of action. We know that for more than 100 years, in this society, we've been steered and socially engineered to believe that's kind of just that's the way things operate. Ever since JFK used that phrase back in the 50s, it's become increasingly common vernacular. You know, the Rahm Emanuel, you never want a perfectly good or a serious crisis to go to waste. What I mean by that is an opportunity to do things you think you could not do before. Maybe that's not the best time to engage in long-term planning. But again, as Angus Bergen reminds us, those aren't the times when the planning happens. Those are the times when policymakers, presumably folks like Jay Inslee and Jenny Durkin, reach to the shelf, as Angus Bergen said, and grab something off the shelf. Well, where did the planners come up with that? And again, when you start to back into this discussion, you back in through the planners. Who are the planners? First of all, they're unelected. What are their political leanings? How do they represent, you know, how do folks at the Center for Health Security at Johns Hopkins University represent folks in Seattle or anywhere in Washington? Or in California, or in Minnesota, or in Georgia, or et cetera, et cetera. What skin do they have in the game? What accountability do they have? What accountability does Jay Inslee have? Does Jenny Durkin have? There's the old idiom, I forget who said it, but something to the effect that you shouldn't trust those who don't have any accountability or any skin in the game. And with these people's qualified diplomatic immunity, what accountability do they have? What accountability does Andrew Cuomo have for the thousands of lives lost because of his haphazard approach to whatever it is that is happening, this COVID-19 nonsense? What is his accountability for the lives that should not have been lost in New York that were because of guidance that he wants to blame other people for? Well, why didn't the other states have the same kind of loss of life that New York had? If that's the case, we were just following the CDC guidance. Well, then why was your death count, your death toll, particularly in the nursing homes, so astronomically higher than other states? If that's the case, where is his accountability? I think he should be brought up on charges. I think he should be removed from office immediately. Where is our spine, America? Where is our backbone? Well, you know, we have to wait until November. Why? Why wait until November? The city's on fire. We'll just let it burn until November because, you know, if terrorists aren't willing to wait until November, and I'm not just talking about people in the streets of Seattle and D.C. and et cetera, you know, I think that we have terrorists. I think we could make the case that, speaking of domestic terrorism, acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of criminal laws, I think Jenny Durkin is a domestic terrorist. Acts dangerous to human life that appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce the civilian population to influence the policy of a government. Oh, she's reimagining now that she thought we'd have a summer of love. Well, we'll walk that back. But you know what? Now we're going to reimagine things. I think she's a domestic terrorist. I think Jay Inslee is a domestic terrorist. Is it not a curious and painful irony that when Mayor Jenny Durkan handed over City Hall to terrorists, that the press was there ahead of time, essentially? I mean, how is it that the filming of these things, people say, well, it wasn't the press per se. No, of course not. But it was. How is it that the press knows about these things in advance, gets a hold of these things, and they're filmed? Maybe it wasn't the press. Maybe it wasn't the press officially, but gosh, there sure was some good footage of the occupation of City Hall, wasn't there? The press couldn't have done it better. In fact, you know, if it wasn't the press, then I would say they got a real bargain. Probably paid pennies on the dollar for coverage that they couldn't have video footage they couldn't have shot better themselves. What a curious coincidence. I think Jenny Durkan is a domestic terrorist who has enabled other domestic terrorists. They are all ultimately tools, useful idiots, dupes and useful idiots, by and large, tools in the destruction and planned remaking of America. So for those Americans who remain, and I would say are the vast majority of folks, you have to understand that what's happening comes down to George Bernard Shaw's expression from Man and Superman, that the, you know, again paraphrasing, the reasonable man comports himself to society. It's similar to the way Jefferson expressed it in the Declaration of Independence, that, you know, mankind are more inclined to suffer while the evils are sufferable than to right themselves and to, you know, abolish those abuses. So the reasonable man comports himself and I should just read it. The reasonable man. The reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. The man who listens to reason is lost. Reason enslaves all whose minds are not strong enough to master her. That's the way he put it in the Revolutionist's Handbook, George Bernard Shaw, from Man and Superman. When it comes to reason, and, you know, as I said, it reminds me of the Declaration of Independence and the similar sentiment expressed by Jefferson when he said, you know, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. This is a moment. We were exhorted and admonished by folks like Andrew Jackson to maintain and exercise eternal vigilance, you know, Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, and you must pay the price. You must pay the price. Speaking of Dennis Prager's remarks about growing up, counting the cost, you must pay the price if you wish to secure the blessing. And this is a moment in America where it's becoming painfully obvious the price has not been paid. We've been enjoying the fruits of the labors of others and the pains and the blood, sweat, and tears of others for at least a few generations now, and we have not continued to pay the price of eternal vigilance. And liberty seems to be slipping from our grasp. I think it's still there. The conversation that Richard in Washington and I had yesterday, I think, was great. I appreciated it tremendously. And I don't think it's all said and done. Quite the contrary, actually. If it were, then there wouldn't be, as I said yesterday, such an ongoing and monumental effort to try to manipulate every area of life. My goodness, have you noticed that the propaganda has been ratcheted up in precisely totalitarian fashion, the way that Hayek writes in The Road to Serfdom, chapter 11, The End of Truth? There are consequences. And I feel like God is saying, is this really what you want? You know, the Second Amendment, again, what is happening is the best argument for the militia. There should be Minutemen and all of these communities pouring out when things like this happen. Basically, the bat signal is flashed in the sky, so to speak, and the Minutemen pour out into the streets and say, listen, we respect and we honor and we support your God-given inalienable right or unalienable right to peaceably assemble and petition for a redress of grievances. We obviously support that, but we're here to make sure that nobody uses you as human shields, as we've seen recently, and tries to destroy our town. And then we have these idiotic folks in public office who think now is the time to reimagine things. We're being played, America. It's just that simple. And I am astonished. Where is the warrior class? Where are the folks? You know, we have millions of people who have served in active duty. Where are these people who, instead of goofy rednecks, where's the militia? Where are the folks who have professional training in beating back these kinds of efforts? You know what I'm talking about. You understand how asymmetric warfare works. Law enforcement understands how asymmetric warfare works. And the people who are bussed in and paid to throw bricks at things don't have the constitution for the kind of battle that has been, I think, slated for America. They are unreasonable in Shaw's depiction, I would say. But they don't have the constitution to... They don't have the follow through, if you will, to see this thing that they have been conscripted to through. They don't have the constitution to execute fully. And it shouldn't come to that. To nip it in the bud, a few folks could show up and say, not on our watch. Yes, we support the right enshrined by the First Amendment. It is not a constitutional right, by the way. It is a right enshrined or enumerated in the First Amendment to the Constitution that they may express themselves. We all may peaceably assemble and petition for redress of grievances, but we are here to make sure that the line is not crossed. We'll be right back.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Sense, what we're seeing is, you know, we've talked on this network for years and years and years, as folks have in other places as well, about the deterioration of society. You know, how to raise children, for example. Children should be taught that there are boundaries and there are rules and there is structure, and you know, there are those of us, including myself, who still believe that, you know, a petulant child deserves to be spanked and it is a lesson. And that's, you know, generally speaking, there are specifics, obviously, but generally speaking, that's a life lesson that tells you that's not acceptable behavior. And there is the general social decorum that you help instill in a child and a young person, et cetera, so that people grow up well-adjusted. But there's also in a very real sense, the aspect that no one's going to want to spend time with a person who has no self-control. And when you do that, there are myriad kind of ripple effects to that. There's the fact that by not doing that, by allowing those kinds of things, you know, as I've talked about before, particularly coming out of about 2012, 13, you know, and specifically, again, Kevin Dutton's book, The Wisdom of Psychopaths, What Saints, Spies, and Serial Killers Can Teach Us About Success. Once we started seeing the uptick in that kind of stuff, you know, this to me correlates to, well, you know, little Johnny, little Sally is just misunderstood. No. They are misguided, and they need to understand that this kind of thing is not okay. So you can actually create psychopathy, you know, narcissistic personality disorder, and all kinds of degrees of sociopathy and psychopathy by condoning this kind of behavior. There are all kinds of ripple effects. But then, you know, as folks like Larkin, Texas remind us, Freud knew that, which is why he said, you know, we're bringing them the plague. When they had the shores back in, what was it, 1909, I want to say, something like that. So it's been this ongoing deterioration. And once you allow that petulant child to scream and yell, and you've allowed that, it gets to a point where you say, whoa, we got to do something about it. Now, all of a sudden, you start to realize the reality of the idiom, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So now you think you need to call the authorities. You need to call the police and burden your community because of a situation that you did not nip in the bud and allowed to grow out of hand. This is a child that you are supposed to raise, you're responsible for, and you're going to unleash this psychopath on society. You're going to burden the community. You're going to spend tax dollars to try to put out a four-alarm fire that you allowed to rage out of control. And then it gets worse. Because of the social engineering in society, the child says, well, I'll just call CPS and say that you're abusing me or whatever. And it doesn't have to be literal or real. It can be a perceived, well, you're abusing me because you won't let me play video games. So now all of a sudden you're under investigation, and the child is emboldened through the reinforcement that, wow, I have power. I can tell my parents to, you know, take a hike. And all the other peripheral dynamics that go into that, people saying, well, I'm just juniors. I'm a friend. I'm my child's friend. I'm my child's best friend. My child is my best friend. That's a recipe for disaster. In simple terms, because friends can tell each other to, you know, take a hike, to put it kindly. And so if your child is your friend, don't be surprised if your child tells you to take a hike. Children should never, that should never be a thought in a child's mind. Which gets back to the point that many folks, including Candace Owens, have made about fatherless communities. And it's not reserved to just one demographic. Fatherless communities are, And as she points out, even Barack Obama has mentioned the fact that fatherless communities are more prone to criminal behavior and a life of destruction, so to speak. So children should never – that thought should not cross a child's mind. And if it does, it should be properly checked immediately, nipped in the bud. So we have a generation now of these kinds of monsters that have been unleashed on society, and well, maybe I'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around, I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Anything systemic in America right now, it's this generational psychopathy that we've allowed, condoned, induced, engineered, whatever you want to call it. And it wasn't you, it wasn't me. It's been through the influence of largely, I would say, efforts like the Cultural Marxist Frankfurt School, you know, creating generations of nihilists. And, you know, petulant children who have not grown up, who don't understand the value of work, who don't understand the fact that you can't just sit around in a park LARPing for days and weeks on end without real consequences. In that sense, I agree with Rex Tibber. Let nature take its course. And like he said, by winter, I bet you the chop zone will clear out. Why don't folks cordon off the area just outside of this? It's so astonishing to me. It's one or the other. If you're going to say that this is not part of the United States, well, then fine. You know what? Why don't we impose embargoes on this area? Why don't we sanction the area? And so forth. You know, employ the usual foreign policy efforts. Nothing goes and no one goes in or out. You're in, and that's it. You're going to stay in. And then, like Rex said, you know, let nature take its course. These shootings, and well, what do you expect to have happen? Tim Pool called that before the whole thing really kicked into high gear. He said exactly what would happen based on his experience from previous events, previous Occupy events. And he's been absolutely right, even according to mainstream reports. So just a couple of quick things from this article. Seattle will move to dismantle CHOP protest zone, Mayor Durkin says. From the article, Mayor Jenny Durkin said the violence was distracting from changes sought by thousands of peaceful protesters opposing racial inequality. Really? And police brutality. I don't see any correlation to any intelligible message in any of that, but whatever. Continuing, she said at a news conference that the city is working with the community to bring the Capitol Hill occupied protest zone, quote unquote, or CHOP, to an end, and that police soon would move back into a precinct building they had largely abandoned in the area. And by the way, one of the things that we used to learn as children is that when you go to a place, or when you have a thing, when you're allowed to use a thing, someone lets you use their bicycle or whatever, you always return it in better condition. Not just the same, but better condition, if possible, than when you received it. Is that what will happen? This area will be in better condition? They talk about art. It's not art, it's graffiti. They vandalized the area. Let's dispense with the propaganda language, the post-truth language, and talk about reality and truth. They vandalized the area. It will not be returned better than when these LARPing terrorists occupied it. To that end, the police soon would move back into a precinct building they had largely abandoned in the area. Durkin also vowed to address some of the protesters' demands. Like I said, she is capitulating to domestic terrorists because that's what they are. And frankly, that's what she is by definition. The mayor did not give an immediate timeline for clearing out the occupation, but said additional steps, quote unquote, would be examined if people don't leave voluntarily. Yeah, these are definitely law-abiding folks. With scores of people camping in the park in the protest zone, Durkin said peaceful demonstrations could continue, but nighttime disorder had to stop. Right. Why would they listen to her at this point? Why would anyone listen to her? Anything that she has to say. Where's the other little bit here? Couple of other things. This excerpt, with not having a police presence here, people are free to do whatever they want to do, said Bobby Stills, a Seattle resident who has spent time volunteering at the protest zone. You never know who's going to show up. That's why people here are on such high alert. They don't know who's who or what's what or their intentions. What? I thought it was a peaceful protest. What do you mean we don't know? People are getting shot. What? There's violence. There's a warlord who has declared himself the police and is threatening people with violence and shooting people and so forth. Now, here's the part. I'll conclude with this from this article. But this reminds me of what Tim Pool said. Tim Pool called this. I think we even played the clip where he was an extended, you know, one of the first installments he did, saying, this is what I would expect. Here's what I've seen based on my experience. This is what I wouldn't be surprised, and I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't get reported. Again, this is a Q13 Fox article published 2 days ago, titled "Seattle Will Move to Dismantle CHOP Protest Zone," Mayor Durkin says. From that article, this paragraph, Durkin, who has faced calls from protesters and even some city council members to resign over her handling of the demonstrations. Let me pause for a moment there before I finish this paragraph. Are we a nation of lemurs? Are we a lemur nation? Is that a new hashtag, lemur nation? Because every time there's a loud noise, Americans are encouraged to behave like lemurs. What was that? So people, you know, protesters and even city council members, it seems like there is a resounding call to give Mayor Jenny Durkin the boot. You are done. You are incompetent. You are unfit to hold public office, period. It seems like there's a resounding call to have her step down immediately, resign from office. But then there's a loud noise and the lemurs all go, what was that? What was that? Well, I guess it was nothing. What were we talking about? I don't know. Oh, what was that? There was another noise. It's disgraceful as far as I'm concerned. Short attention span theater, it seems. When will this end? You know, and one of the greatest ironies, one of the most painful ironies to me about that whole subject is the fact that while we've been dumbed down and socially engineered to behave in this fashion, the Alinskyite rules for radicals, terrorists, have been trained in the 12 rules, you know, one of which is to freeze the issue and to focus on it. Why do we not have the attention span in America anymore, it seems, to focus on an issue? And despite all of the chaos and the noise, you know, despite the engineered cacophony, if you will, Americans stand shoulder to shoulder with arms folded, staring at Mayor Jenny Durkin. Will you resign or do we have to recall you? Will you do the honorable and noble thing and step down from office, or should we recall you from office immediately? Despite all the noises and the loud booms and the things, distractions, all of the shiny, flashy, flickering lights, American adults stand there, shoulder to shoulder, arms folded, saying, will you do the right thing? Will you leave? Will you step down? Will you resign from office? Because we're not going to wait until November. It's up to you. Do the right thing. We will, you know, maintain some dignity. Don't be the person that we, you know, presume you are based on the way you've conducted yourself in office. Do the right thing. With unbroken focus, Americans should be looking at these issues. Jay Inslee, same thing. And all of these people that are unfit for public office should be removed immediately. And people should not break their focus from that. Because if you don't, well, guess what? Things will continue to get worse. So continuing from this paragraph from the article, Durkin, who has faced calls from protesters and even some city council members to resign over her handling of the demonstrations, and Police Chief Carmen Best, which is a weird way to phrase this, said they did not immediately have a timeline for returning officers to the East Precinct, which was established to better respond to emergency calls in the city's historically black district. And here's, well, continuing, they said officers would return safely and in the near future, period, but this sentence proves Tim Pool was right. Best noted, so this is Police Chief Carmen Best, okay? Proving Tim Pool was right from the get-go. Best noted that some other crimes, including rape, arson, and burglary, have been reported in or near the protest zone. And that is precisely what Tim Pool mentioned. He said there will probably be a lot of – incidents of rape and burglary and other things in the Occupy event that he attended in New York. And they weren't reported. Those incidents went largely unreported. So already Police Chief Carmen Best is proving Tim Pool was right. So the, you know, anyone with any common sense can see where all of this leads. And getting back to the petulant child metaphor, and I say that loosely, I think this is more, much more literal than many folks would like to admit. You know, and on that note, before we go to the phones, I think it's interesting. You know, I said, I think I even mentioned it on air. When everything shut down, businesses shut down, the country shut down, people were home with their children. I thought that was one of the best things that could possibly happen, because people would be forced to confront the reality of the nightmare that they had created. And, you know, regardless of the social engineering, regardless of the herd, you know, herd think and all of the programming, generation after generation, we still have a responsibility. We still, you know, most of us still have a conscience. We know right from wrong. And you still know somewhere in there, regardless of all of the overwhelming social engineering, which I do not discount or ignore. We still have a responsibility as parents to children. And ultimately, the parents decide in America. I believe that very firmly. You know, whether they will raise children right or they will capitulate to the go-along, get-along mindset. Well, you know, I don't want to get in trouble. Well, Johnny's just, you know, he's misunderstood. No one's going to want to be around little misunderstood Johnny when he grows up, the psychopath that he grows into. No one's going to want to spend time around that person. And imagine what that's going to do to the child who was never told no, and no one wants to spend any time with this child when he grows up. It's a very lonely, painful existence that will only add fuel to that psychological fire. And so now we have those kinds of people in these kinds of areas who, you know, for Jenny Durkin to say, well, you know, we might have to do something if they won't leave peacefully, if they won't leave quietly. And do you understand what kind of people you're talking about? It's these kinds of people who are not used to hearing no. They've grown up all of their lives. They've not heard no. And they think that the louder they scream, you know, it's just a matter of screaming louder. If they don't get their way when they scream first, then they should just scream louder and louder. And then finally, some element of society will capitulate and say, okay, it's okay, Johnny, calm down. Here you go. That's what we've created. So now, unfortunately, it seems in many cases a pound of cure is in order, and an ounce of prevention will no longer do. To the phones, Tom in Florida, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, good day, Chris. I just wanted to thank you for waking me up to Bill Gates. I didn't realize what a monster that guy Gates really is until I started listening to you, and I really did some research on Gates, and he's as bad as Soros, whatever. But
yeah,
Chris, here's what I really want to talk to you about. You know, last night on Fox News, they had these black kids with these rifles out there in Atlanta, and I was saying, and the kids were saying that the police don't protect them and all that. Well, the mayor of Atlanta is black, the police chief of Atlanta is black, most of the officers in Atlanta are black, and these black thugs, anarchists, are screaming that they're not being protected by the police. Well, the police department is mainly black. It's over 50% black. The mayor's black. The chief is black. What do they want, white? I mean, it seems like every city that these Democrats run, the police chiefs are black. Their cities are in chaos, but they're being controlled by black leaders. So why is this white man's guilt? Is this a white man's burden? Is this a John Travolta movie, White Man's Burden?
It doesn't end there either. I mean, Minneapolis, I think the DA, same thing. And it's, you know, we have these sound bites that are oversimplified. You know, when you see, for example, Don Lemon and Van Jones talking, these are things, you know, I've thought about mentioning in recent days, but I've sort of, I don't know, well, I've chosen not to, but hold on.
Run by Che Guevara. They have Che Guevara.
Hold on, Tom, when you listen to even the sound bites that get oversimplified, when you understand when you're listening to Don Lemon and Van Jones talking, for example, and Van Jones is saying, you know, white people have a virus. They are racist by nature because they have a virus in their brain. Isn't Van Jones married to a white woman? So how does she feel about that? What does the conversation sound like at the dinner table when after an interview, like, isn't Don Lemon's partner? I won't say, people say, well, he's married to, no, that's, I won't pollute that term that way, but isn't Don Lemon's partner a white man? So how can they have these conversations, and how do people not say, these people are idiots, why am I listening to them?
Well, Chris,
this is clearly politically motivated.
Yes, Chris. And AOC's boyfriend's white. AOC's boyfriend's a white Anglo. But, you know,
which is fine. And for those who might, you know, misunderstand, the point here is not that there's a problem with that. The point is that when you go around saying the kinds of things that people like Van Jones say, and you're clearly a hypocrite, and clearly your remarks are politically motivated, then that is a problem. And when you're inciting the kind of violence that these people are, they are the intellectual spark that Huckabee talked about.
You know, Chris, let me ask you this. Do you think the president of NASCAR is going to have Bubba Wallace apologize to the NASCAR fans about the noose? You think that will happen?
Well, I don't really care, frankly. I think that the American people should be getting wise to all of this, you know, kind of like what we're talking about.
I hope so, but I just got to say one more thing, Chris, about this rioting and looting and all this nonsense. When I'm watching them taking down the statue of Ulysses S. Grant, the one that won, it wasn't Lincoln who won that war, it was Grant. Grant's courage for the Union.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the South would have won the war. You know what, Chris, when they built those statues in the South, you know what, the Yankees might have won at that time. They called them the Yankees or the Union Army. But guess what? They didn't occupy the South for long because the Southern men who lost that war still lived in those states in the South, and they built monuments to their men that they worshiped. So you know what? You can't say that, oh, these people were traitors and all that. A lot of these people on these news networks calling these Southern men traitors. No, they believed in their right of their ideology of their life. These people who lived in
simple terms,
these Southern men lived in their Southern lands, Chris. They didn't live in the North, and the Northern men went back to their Northern territories. And the Southern men went back to their Southern territories.
Yeah, I've talked about it several times. The Civil War, in my apprehension, the uncivil war of Eastern European banking aggression, the way I would call it, was the fissure point was that the Northern tariffs were abusive on the Southern states. The Southern states didn't have the representation because of the three-fifths clause. This was just basically a way to abuse the Southern states, to always make sure that the Northern states maintained an elective majority. And that was the real fissure. It wasn't the issue of slavery was a sort of surreptitious pretext. And
absolutely.
And that's a broader discussion that we obviously don't have time for in 7 minutes remaining, or six or five or whatever it is in this broadcast. But I think there were a lot of things that the Southern states had right, and there are a lot of things that were justified. The frustrations were justified, and so the motto, the South will rise again, to me is really sort of what's being targeted here with all of these statues and things. It's the effort to sort of re-injure and re-spark those frustrations. So you have that being targeted, and then you have this, you know, hints of the French Revolution stuff. And I don't think that the intellectual spark that's really behind this is ignorant of these things. I think that's all very intentional, and that's all I'll say about that in the interest of time.
You're right, Chris. And 60% of the billionaires in this country hate this country. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Tom.
60%.
Much appreciated. Yeah. Much appreciated. Back to the phones in the interest of time. Ed in Florida. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Chris. Great show.
Hi, Ed.
Not only is it Confederate generals and politicians, we just had a recent event in Melbourne Beach where someone desecrated a statue of Ponce de Leon. Now, mm-hmm. this is going beyond the Confederacy. It's an erasure yeah. of white culture and white history.
Mm-hmm.
And I called the police department, and they referred me to the sheriff's department because we have towns here in Florida that don't have police departments that are covered by the sheriff's department. And the Brevard County Sheriff's Department told me it wasn't a criminal matter, and they referred me to the Parks and Recreation.
Huh.
Now, if it had been a statue of Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, like right. I told whoever answered the phone in the sheriff's department, you would have 24-hour guards. It would be on the news 7 days a week until you caught the perpetrators.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
Small towns, they're even taking down statues of Confederate veterans in cemeteries.
Yeah.
Cemeteries. You can't place a Confederate flag on a... You know what angers me most? We have Confederate cemetery more than maybe 10 miles from me here in Florida. They've taken down all the Confederate flags that you put on the graves for Confederate Veteran Day, and they've put Yankee flags on it. Can you imagine the insult?
I have an idea. What if city council members say, sure, we can have a discussion about removing statues. We will not allow statues to be ripped down by violent mobs under the cover of night, but we will entertain a discussion. So let's have a public forum, let's have a town hall, but before we do, let's have some remedial history about, you know, the facts of who these people were and what was actually going on. I think it would be very eye-opening for some folks.
As previous caller stated, Grant, now I'm no fan of any Yankee Grant, but still, of all people, why would you want to desecrate a statue of Grant or Washington?
Exactly.
Or the think about it. You know, I can see Robert E. Lee, but Grant, it just
yeah.
doesn't make
Where
any sense.
It
it's just
exactly.
white people. They're so angry at white people.
That's why I was joking earlier this week, and I said Friday and Saturday I was thinking about doing a segment on this broadcast saying that Maslow's hierarchy of needs, your food, clothing, and shelter are oppressing me, so let's abolish your food, clothing, and shelter. That's essentially...
Are you familiar with David Lane's 14 words?
I don't think so.
We must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children. Until we do, America as we know it, it's not the same country.
Well, I wish that we could all stand together as Americans. You know, I think we have a unique opportunity.
I would agree, but, you know, I hate to say the powers that be. The tribe has decided to make it sure America and Europe, for that matter, pose no threats to them. That's why we have diversity, except for in Israel. We can get
sure.
to the topic.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Ed. Much appreciated. Folks, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names, and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.